Imagine if it was easy to find and retain your dream client as a salon owner. Forest Salon Software is the all-in-one point-of-sale system for salons, spas, and clinics. With client and staff management and best-in-class reporting and a marketing suite, Forest touches every point of the salon experience to help salons find and retain their dream clients, increase client visit frequency, and increase their revenue. With over 9,000 salons globally partnering with Forest Salon Software to manage, market, and grow their business, as well as a team of local industry professionals here to support you, there has never been a better time to switch to a software partner that can grow with your business. Beauty Business and Beyond listeners who sign up for Forest will receive 50% off your setup fee, which will cover the cost of your data migration, system configuration and training, as well as 2,000 free SMS to use on SMS marketing campaigns of your choosing. Simply click the link in the show notes to take advantage of this generous offer. Forest Salon Software, together we grow. Welcome to the Beauty, Business and Beyond podcast. I'm your host, Kelly, otherwise known as Skin Queen. I'm a skin therapist turned clinical educator turned multiple six-figure online business owner. I used to think that owning a business meant that you'd have a product or service, a website and an Instagram and just wait for the masses to flock. But little did I know. It wasn't until I started working with coaches and mentors that I learned there is so much more to it. On this podcast, you can expect to learn about mindset, marketing, strategies, and other fundamental business lessons that have helped me to generate over $500,000 of revenue in less than 2 years. Are you in my Facebook group? Every single day I post in there sharing even more gold nuggets of information to help you grow your business. To find it, search Beauty, Business and Beyond on Facebook or head to the link in my show notes to get a direct link. So lots of us in business want to get to a point where we have multiple team members and we ourselves are not working in the team, in the business, I should say, rather than the team. But in order to get to that point, it's not as simple as just hiring some staff members and away you go. And I did learn that lesson the hard way when I first opened the facial bar. I had two staff members that I hired from the get-go and it all came crashing and burning down very quickly. And there's been a lot of hard pills to swallow, but a lot of lessons learned in the run of it all as well, which is why I'm really excited for today's guest. I've got the beautiful Estelle from Boss Coaching, and it's hard to miss that because you're wearing it on your t-shirt, here to talk to me today on the Beauty, Business and Beyond podcast about all things empowering your team and becoming a confident leader. So welcome, Estelle. Thank you for jumping on.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is great fun.
And I said to Estelle before I hit record as well that I have been seeing a lot of her content recently and it talks a lot about empowering your team but also being a confident leader. And for a lot of us, you know, if we're solopreneurs and we're working by ourselves, to then go into having to manage a team, it's a completely different skill set. And there's a really fine line between, you know, being a confident leader or just being an employer. So I really wanted to dive into that with you. And also, we'll start off, for those who don't know you, do you want to share a little bit about your story?
I love everything about this topic, so it's going to be a challenge for us to keep it to a time frame, I imagine. So my story is I was a regional salon owner for 20 years. It was my mum's hair and beauty salon for many years, and then I bought the business. And so I grew up on a dairy farm. I'm very much regional country girl. Then when I took over the business and bought the business, rather, I wanted to do things differently. And I made sure that it was quite a systemized business that could mean that I had freedom of time because it was really important to me to spend a lot more time at home with young children. So I knew that I wanted to have children and I wanted to have that freedom of time with them. So much so that I remember when I was 16 at hairdressing school and we had to map out our vision. I even had to, when I'm 70, I am going to be president of the local CWA. So I had it all mapped out when the children were going to happen. It all happened just as. So I had those children, married at 21, had the kids 27, 28. So I own a hair salon when I took over the business, but it did have some beauty elements in there. And for the last 5 years, I have been a business and leadership coach in the hair and beauty space in Australia and New Zealand.
Now, as you just said then, when you were 16, you mapped it all out, you mapped the vision and you're like, and it happened the way that it should. I feel like that almost never happens. I feel like everybody always has this grand plan and then it all falls apart. And I know that's definitely true for me. So something that I want to dive into there, you just said that you wanted to create systems and processes that meant that you had time freedom. Can you go into that? Because some people might have heard that and been like, what the hecky? How? Share the secret. And I know there's so much to it, but you know, how did your brain think like that? And what kind of systems and processes did you implement? Were you a hairdresser yourself and you were like, I'm not going to take new clients and I'm going to slowly start to feed my clients onto people? How did you do that in such routine fashion that it went off with a hitch? Because I feel like this never happens. I feel like I always hear the opposite where they're like, that was a plan and nothing went to plan and this is what happened instead. So I'm impressed. I'm inspired.
Okay, so both parents were business owners. My father was a dairy farm owner and mum owned the hair salon. So they're all in the same household. And so I live through day-to-day life in business. And so I experienced all the behind the scenes and I could see the stress and the exhaustion in particular on my mum. And I was adamant that that wasn't going to happen to me. I wanted to be able to be much more free with my children. So I knew this is not what I wanted. So I was very clear about that. And I think what I did differently, because I think people get to this sort of point and then can't push past it, is I knew that it had to be far more about my team than it was about me. So it wasn't about me being the superstar. But as when you start out, it is about you engaging with that client and you build the rapport and they love you and they send more clients in. Then as you become the salon owner, it becomes you sometimes still with the clients, but it's the team and the team loves you. The team sends more team members towards you. So you need to shift into that next level. So it's about leveling up. And that seems so simple, but it can be quite a shift and a hard challenge for you. But because I was that determined, that's what I wanted, I knew that's the step I need to take. So I needed to focus on clients loving my team. And instead of me getting the satisfaction of, can I book in with Estelle or Estelle's amazing, it had to be, oh, can I have Abby? Oh, my gosh, Jake did an incredible colour. And then I got my buzz out of that because that meant it was working.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's really solid advice because I've just rehired again and my new therapist started last week and I inherited my other therapist's clients and I was fully booked, but my plan is to get back off the tools. So I am already handing new clients off to my new therapist. She's amazing. And I keep saying, oh my God, Chelsea is amazing. Just wait until she gets a shoulder massage. And oh my gosh, you're just going to love being with Chelsea. She's so nurturing and kind. And last week alone, we got 6 5-star reviews from this therapist. And I'm like, okay, we're on to a winner here. And now that's my new passion. It's I want to build her up and I want to make sure that she has all the tools and resources. And we've got the training plan in place to keep checking in to make sure, okay, how are we going with that? And that is really my calling as a business owner. As much as I love giving facials, that's not my calling. And in fact, that is not what I want to be doing long term. So I think there is a huge differentiation between somebody who they want to be a facialist, they want to be a hairdresser, they want to be a hands-on therapist, and that's their calling, versus somebody who really gets a buzz, as you said, and gets a kick out of developing people.
100%. And I think you really have to accept your responsibility in that new role. If you own a salon that has a team, you have to respect that you have a responsibility now to develop that team. You must level up. You have to think differently than you did before. Because if you still stay behind the chair looking after clients, who's looking at your business? Who's the one that's empowering that team? And I think there's a bit of confusion on exactly what empowering means. I think we hear people say, oh, I want to empower my team, but they've forgotten that that means that you're teaching them to be able to make those decisions for themselves. So they've got to learn the frameworks, They've got to learn some of the basic principles, the non-negotiables and how you do things in your business. But you've got to also allow them the freedom to make some mistakes, have some little bit of flexibility in that and be okay with that. I made so many mistakes in 20 years, so I've got to allow them to make some too.
Yeah, I love that, because not everybody's going to be perfect and not everybody's going to be exactly like you, but that's the beauty in it. You want to hire people who aren't exactly like you. We want that diversity, because if we were all the same, place would be pretty boring.
Yes, thank God for that when not all the same. And be excited about it's a really smart businesswoman that employs people that are better than her at many different things. For me, it was somebody that was amazing at balayage or incredible at braiding that I just knew, oh my gosh, that was not my jam. But I didn't care. She could be the superstar to do that. Well, my satisfaction was I was a smart businesswoman that was employing them. My ego wasn't getting crushed by, oh yeah, but they're better than me. Who cares? That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm so in alignment with what you're saying now. Now, there are two things that I wanted to go into here, and they kind of interlink in a way. The first part is, how do you know when you're ready to hire? And then the second part is your higher self, because a lot of what you're talking about here, and I know a lot of business owners are going to resonate with this, is I started the business, had two staff members, didn't work. One of them parted ways with me, and then I got back on the tools. And then my other staff member, her visa expired and she quickly had to leave the country, which is very awful. And I'm hoping that she does come back. But now I'm working towards having my team again and getting back off the tools. But I'm starting to have guilt, which is crazy, because listening to you talk, I'm like, this is my higher self. This is what I used to do. And when I used to just work on the business, that was my zone of genius. I was thriving and everything was going amazingly. So I'd love for you, because I'm sure you've been up against this with other business owners that you've coached before, but for those who are wanting to, you know, they might have started their business as a solopreneur. They built up their database and they want to get off the tools, but now they're starting to feel guilty. How can they start to step into their higher self, and what's your advice to them around this?
Okay, so let's go to the part that you talked about with, because it was a number of questions. The last one was about guilt. So how do you survive the guilt when you know you need to be tapping into that higher self? So you're going to have guilt no matter what. I had guilt this morning because I left my dog at home. I've got guilt because I've got children. And so that is only a natural response, and is a little bit of a check-in. And we have to mentally slap ourselves across the head or face, whatever, and say, okay, let's do a reality check here. So for me to be able to grow this business, I have a duty of care to my clients and to my team and to this business to step up to another level. I can no longer be face-to-face with those clients all the time and just expect it all to happen. I might need to say, that dog's fine. It's got food, it's got water, it can go outside.
It's the same with team though too. This is like that, and it's funny, I've done the exact same. I'm like, come on. I'm not going to grow the business if I'm working in the business. And that means I'm not going to be able to pay somebody's wage. And that means they're not going to be able to pay their rent or their mortgage. So the reality is I could feel guilty because I'm not there hands on, but instead what I'm going to do is be working on the money-making activities. And my role is going to be purely marketing, whereas I've got everything else outsourced. So I'm in even more of a privileged position. And I'm like, this is my highest self. And when I think about it, you know, everybody writes down their goals, journals, and if you don't, you should, about what your higher self is. But sometimes when you meet that higher self so soon, it's almost like you have this limiting belief that, oh, I shouldn't have achieved that so soon. So I think this is really good that we're both on the same page with the slap yourself in the face and be like, hold on, because we all feel guilty when we leave our dogs behind.
On that feeling, because it comes with that imposter syndrome, that guilty feeling, right? That's a sense you're probably on track. And when you're talking about, oh my gosh, maybe it's all come too soon, if you're not feeling some element of that, you've probably got a little bit cruisy, a little bit complacent. So get used to kind of leaning into that little bit of adrenaline to know, okay, we're in progression here. So it's grow, grow, grow. And then it might be a bit of stabilizing and grow, grow, grow. But too much in that sort of cruisy zone, maybe that's not such a good thing.
I'm going to quickly interrupt your listening to ask you how you feel about your social media game. Every day, I speak to beauty business owners who tell me that they struggle to come up with ideas
struggle to be consistent on social media, and just feel completely overwhelmed with fitting content creation into your already busy schedule. And this is why I've created Socials Made Simple. Twice a month, I'll email you social media templates, content ideas, and mini tutorials to make posting on social media simple for busy business owners just like yourself. Boost your engagement, grow your following, and attract new clients on autopilot so you can get back to doing the things that you love. To get $100 off, send me a message on Instagram with the letters SMS, and I'll send you a unique discount code. All right, let's get back to today's episode. So we kind of touched on empowering your team. Now, I bet that you are all over this with your coaching clients. KPIs. It's almost like a dreaded conversation, and I speak to every coach that I have on my podcast around this. For those who don't have them, or maybe they have them and they're not hitting them, how do you empower and encourage your team to hit them? Because it's a big point of contention. I don't know what it's like for sure in the hair industry, but I know it's like this in the beauty industry where, you know, if the team are making the business owner money all the time, then eventually they can get the shits and be like, well, I'm making the business owner all this money. I'm going to go do it for myself. But the reality is that's a bloody hard slog. And then they're like, wow, I didn't realize how hard it was. So I have my thoughts about this. I'd love to know your thoughts around this and implementing KPIs and empowering the team to meet them.
So one, the team will think she's making so much money if they don't know. They fill in the gaps. So if you're not having clarity in your communication and they see you're making X amount and they're getting paid X amount, they think she's rolling in it. So you need to be a lot more transparent about things. And if you can't be transparent about that, you need to do a bit of questioning yourself. It's far better. Let's live a life of authenticity here. Just put all your cards out on the table. This is where it's at. It is the most freeing thing to live a life that you are so authentic in what you do. You can say, this is how it is. This is where we're at. This is where we need to be. And this is where you need to be individually. And it is my responsibility to ensure that that happens. And this is also where you can do some pre-framing, where you say to your team, it is my responsibility, my number one responsibility as a business owner, to have a profitable business. That's my number one. And so they might think it's the team, it's the clients. No, it's to have a profitable business. And as part of that, it means I've got to put my big girl panties on and I've got to make some hard calls on where we spend our time and where we spend our money. And it's really challenging sometimes. Because I love people and I just want to smooch you and I just want to give you a big hug and give you a high five. Sometimes I've got to say, this is not right because of my number one responsibility. So when you say that, like put all your cards out on the table, then they're ready and waiting for it. And you're failing them by not doing it and disappointing them. They're waiting for you to say, hang on, you were going to pull me up. Hang on, isn't one of those times where you were going to address that that wasn't right? So they're looking out for it. You're effectively giving yourself also permission to do what you need to do.
Probably now you helping your partner's construction company, you know, that's a man's world traditionally. They are very black and white like that. And I respect it so much. It's the reason why my fiance works with me. So he can be black and white because you need that. But I think sometimes women scare away from that because we're so empathic. And as you said, we just want to hug everybody and love everybody and do the best by everybody. But you're right. As business owners, our number one responsibility is to have a profitable business.
Yes. And even I'm from the hairdressing space. Majority of my experience has been in that space as a hairdresser myself. We can get off thinking, well, I'm creative and I like to have things free flowing. But we actually need to have those boundaries to be able to be super creative. So, I've really thought about the five areas that this really sits under. So I'll go through that. I think that you really need to have first a vision of where you're going in your business and yourself as an individual and to explain that to your team. And so they can see themselves within that. Wow, maybe I could be part of this role here or that one over there. So they've got a long-term vision within your business. Then it's about what is your strategy, how you're going to get there. then it's about systemizing to simplify that, because where it stops here, like a funnel, it stops is if it's all in your head and it's not on paper, there's no visual reminders, there's no photos or videos on how we do things, then if you're not there, it's not going to happen and it stops with you. So we need to make sure that this business is bigger than you. The next hurdle after that is accountability. So you need to have accountability and discipline, not so much about the motivation. So it's not the motivation that's getting us up every day. It's the discipline. I need to get up. I need to do this. I need to make sure that when I'm talking with a client that I'm identifying problems and offering some solutions. That's my duty of care. And holding your team accountable for that can be challenging for some.
Love it. I was just having another podcast episode that really flows nicely into this one. I'll have to pop them back to back when they come out. But when it comes down to it, when you can include your team in that, it makes it so much easier because, as you keep saying as well, they feel a part of it and they feel a part of something. And I think that is really important. But essentially, we want to be building profitable businesses that have a beautiful vision, that have strategies to achieve that vision, to have systems and that are keeping people accountable to help us meet that, because otherwise we're just buying ourselves a job.
We want to have a collaborative approach to this. However, there's a bit of a disclaimer here. Your team need to have a visionary leader. So you need to have a bit of an idea of where you're going, that you might be flexible on some of the processes on how you're going to get there. Maybe some of the, instead of them being a selling coordinator, it might be a team leader. You're flexible on that, those sorts of things. But they need to know that this leader is very clear on where she's heading. Rather than using that as an excuse for, I have no idea. So let's huddle and let's work it out together. You need to have something. And the thing is, we all do. We just often can be fearful for saying it out loud. But get it out loud, along with telling them you're fearful of this, but that's a good sense that it must be something exciting if you're that fearful for saying it to the universe.
I love that you're actually changing fear into being like, actually, that's exciting. Because I think a lot of us can be like, oh, but use that feeling to be like, no, this is an exciting thing. You're on the right path. I think that's such a gold takeaway here.
I tell you where that comes from. I'm a singer, so I grew up performing in lots of spaces. And so people would ask me, how did I become confident? And I replace that feeling of anxiousness and fear with excitement, because it actually is the same physical response. Just change the label. So if I see a microphone on a stage, wherever I am, even if I'm not presenting, I think, oh my God, what can I do to get myself on that stage with that microphone in front of all those people? And I feel like even talking about it, I can feel all the feelings like, oh my God, how exciting. And when I sing on stage, it's all these people are looking at me. Oh my God, how exciting. But on the flip side of that, I could go, oh my Lord, all these people can see me. They're going to see this on my face, on that on my clothes, and I'm going to fall over and say these sorts of words. What am I focusing on? And so I choose to focus on the opportunity and the excitement of it, because it's a far more useful belief than focusing on the negative part.
Yeah. That kind of answers my next question. I was going to ask you, how does one become a confident leader? If somebody's going from not knowing how to lead a team to now being a leader and a confident one at that, one who implements boundaries, one who is driving the business, one who is driving the team, making sure they're all staying accountable. How did you even go from that? Because I know that you can go and do certificates in leadership and management, and that's like a whole different skill set. So how does one go from maybe being a solopreneur to then hiring their first team member, hiring their second team member, and being a confident leader?
So I've got plenty of ways that I can help support people on doing that. So, but let's look at some big picture ideas for you here. How do they become a confident leader? The biggest thing is you must decide every single day that this is what you're going to do in every single moment. Much the same as, I don't want to go too much down that Robert Warren, but you would know that I've been on quite a bit of a health journey, and you have to decide every time you go to eat something or drink something or be active or not be active, which way you're going to go. So in every moment, you're deciding, is this going to help me get me towards being that leader? Is this an example of that? Or is this an example of drifting away from that? In every moment until it becomes habit. Things happen. I mean, we're female. That time of the month, you're going to get your itty-bitty shitty committee is going to be cranked up high. And so you're going to need that little inside coach in your head going, nah, woman, you've got this. Get back on track. Is that a leader thing that the leader would do? No, go to bed early. Get up earlier. That sort of thing.
And I guess this is why there is coaches like yourself. So do you want to share with my audience a little bit about what you do at Boss Coaching, who it is that you want to work with, and in what capacity you work with people?
Okay, so we all need to have a coach, and we might have coaches in all different areas of our business. And I think once you've got one coach, you've opened up that world, you'll realize that having a coach is like putting fuel in your car. You just need to do that to keep running and to help keep growing. In terms of what I offer, so I work with people one-on-one and in a group with a salon owner, but I train their leadership team and I train all levels of their team. So we do short courses and masterclasses as well. And we do something fairly unique is we offer coaching for the managers. So I actually see them each week in a group.
So if somebody is wanting to work with you, where can they find you online?
So they can look for Boss Coaching. They can look for Estelle Carroll also on social media.
I love it. Thank you so much, Estelle, for jumping on the podcast today. Your energy and your insight on this is just so contagious and I really appreciate your time.
Oh, mwah. All right, let's meet up in person next, hey?
Thank you.